Good evening, I'm Jevy Ebanks with your latest local news. A 40-year-old woman from West Bay has been arrested on suspicion of assault causing grievous bodily harm following a domestic incident. Police say that on the 5th of March, officers received report that a man and woman known to each other had been involved at an altercation at a bar off of Shedden Road. During the incident, the man was struck by a car driven by the woman. The incident was reported to have taken place on the evening of Saturday, the 28th of February. Following investigative inquiries, it was confirmed that the man sustained severe leg injuries and was taken to the hospital for treatment on the night of the incident. The woman has since been arrested and remains in custody as the investigation continues. The murder trial of Demisio Frederick made little progress today, despite expectations that the jury would hear closing arguments from both the Crown and defending counsels. The delay appears to be linked to additional evidence that may need to be presented following a series of questions raised by the jury. The jury has been notably active throughout the trial, submitting numerous questions to both sides. On Tuesday alone, the court dealt with up to 8 questions from the 12 jurors. One of the issues raised relates to CCTV footage from the area in the days leading up to the incident that resulted in the death of Christopher Johnson. The act that caused Mr. Johnson's death was not captured on camera, as it occurred on a separate property on Middle Road opposite where the accused, Demisio Frederick, lives. However, the jury heard testimony that Mr. Frederick walked his family dog the day before the incident, prompting jurors to ask whether they could view the relevant footage. The Crown explained that a significant amount of CCTV footage had been collected, though not all of it had been shown in court. Prosecutors have now undertaken to review the footage again with the defense, which may result in additional material being presented to the jury. Earlier testimony referenced a homeless man known to frequent the area, and the footage may help confirm or rule out his presence. It may also clarify who entered and left the property, and crucially, when, on the day, Mr. Johnson was found dead. What impact this footage may have remains unclear, as both the Crown and the defense have already formally closed their cases. If new evidence is admitted with the judge's permission, it could lead to fresh testimony and cross-examination, including the recall of officers involved. The jury had been expected to hear closing arguments today, followed by the judge's legal direction and the start of her summation. The trial is now expected to resume tomorrow with the Crown's closing speech up first from Deputy Director of Public Prosecutions, Barnaby Jameson, KC. If closing arguments cannot be completed tomorrow, the court may face the rare situation of an impaneled jury sitting over the weekend as the case nears its conclusion. Even if the jury does sit on Saturday, deliberations are still unlikely to begin before Monday. Friday's proceedings will provide the clearest indication of how the remainder of the trial will unfold. The case was originally scheduled for 10 days, but an extension into a third week could affect other matters on the docket of the island's most senior criminal judge. The trial resumes tomorrow, with the defense closing expected by mid-morning or early afternoon, and the judge's summation sometime thereafter. In other local news, Cabinet agrees to add 30 new illnesses to the country's notifiable disease schedule. Health Minister, the Honourable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes.
The update to the notifiable diseases schedule strengthens our ability to respond swiftly and effectively to evolving public health landscape and aligns more closely with regional and global surveillance networks.
The notifiable disease schedule lists specific infectious diseases that health professionals and the public are required by law to report to public health authorities when a patient is diagnosed or suspected. This helps the government track and manage infections. The update includes 30 illnesses, including things like Lyme disease, chikungunya, chlamydia, hand, foot and mouth disease, Zika, and even cases of antimicrobial resistance. Acting Chief Officer for Health, Bobeth Ogaro.
The ministry intends to bring further updates to both the primary and secondary public health legislation later this year to ensure full alignment and clarity within our legal framework. These updates will form part of our broader commitment to maintaining a modern and transparent public health system that supports compliance.
The full list of notifiable diseases, which you can find at radiokman.gov.ky, includes 67 illnesses. Sticking with health news, Cayman's Ministry of Health is monitoring a meningitis outbreak in the United Kingdom. But officials say there's no local threat at this time. The outbreak is centered in Kent, near London, where 15 cases have been confirmed and 12 more are under investigation. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Hilary Wolfe.
I appreciate that there is a lot of concern locally about the meningitis outbreak in the UK. It is important to state that this is not the type of outbreak that easily transcends borders. The transmission of meningitis requires close contact with those who have it, which is why it spreads so easily in school settings, especially where young people are also living together in dormitories.
Dr. Wolf says Cayman students heading abroad already receive meningococcal vaccines as a part of the national vaccination schedule, and health officials here will continue to monitor development. There have been no confirmed cases of meningitis in Cayman this year. Anyone returning from the UK who develops fever, severe headache, stiff neck vomiting, or a rash should seek medical care right away. For more information, contact Public Health Department at 244-2889 or 244-2621. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. Workforce Opportunity and Residency Cayman says it has taken significant steps to ensure staff are, quote, well-informed and prepared to deal with upcoming immigration changes. Work recently held a series of training sessions designed to equip employees and work-related board members with ways to, quote, effectively support the public when the legislative changes come into effect. In the same vein, Work Director Jeremy Scott tells Radio Cayman his department is also tackling permit processing times.
The stakeholders have come back and made it very clear that one of our pain points with efficiency is processing of work permit applications. So we have looked at and accepted that the processing times are a bit delayed. Where we are right now for work permit applications, we're speaking of 8 to 12 months at times for annual work permits that upon submission before an actual decision can be made. We accept that obviously that impacts negatively the business community.
Mr. Scott says the department recently initiated a backlog project.
And we have actually successfully completed, as of this week, 1,400 plus applications.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Scott made those comments on Radio Cayman's For the Record on Friday, and you can find it by heading over to Radio Cayman's YouTube page. In other local news, an incident on a school bus sparks a DES probe. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles tells us more.
According to the Department of Education Services, an incident involving a secondary school student and a contracted bus driver happened Wednesday afternoon. Acting DES Director Dr. Richard Wildman says the department is, quote, working closely with the school and relevant parties to ensure the matter is addressed appropriately.
The safety and well-being and dignity of all students and staff remain our priority.
In a statement released today, Dr. Wildman stressed that they are acting with the best interests of those involved in mind.
We expect all interactions within the school community to reflect respect, care, and appropriate behavior.
DES has not provided additional details at this time as the investigation proceeds. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
Thank you, Elizabeth. New research now from Little Cayman shows how warmer sea temperatures are affecting local seagrasses. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more.
The new paper, published as part of the Central Caribbean Marine Institute's Blue Carbon Offset and Biodiversity Program, explores thermal sensitivity of phosphorespiration in three Caribbean seagrasses in Little Cayman. Seagrasses are vital blue carbon ecosystems that capture carbon up to 35 times faster than tropical rainforests and stores it in seafloor sediments. And CCMI's Kate Holden says the results show an optimal sea temperature of about 31 degrees Celsius. That's just under 88 degrees Fahrenheit across the species. Anything above 32 degrees, productivity, quote, declines sharply across study species.
Sea surface temperature models show that under certain climate scenarios, seagrasses in much of the Gulf of Mexico and Northern Caribbean could experience 20 to 30% of months above their thermal optima over the next 75 years.
That means the seagrass's ability to pull carbon and also contribute to climate mitigation will be, quote, compromised 20 to 30% of the time over the next 75 years. Ms. Holden tells Radio Cayman this research provides important evidence and insight into how climate change could impact not only biodiversity, but climate resilience in the Cayman Islands. The work was done by CCMI's research team and Wheaton Women and Ocean Science scholar Haley Capone. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Thank you, Carsley. Finally, the Cayman Islands Department of Tourism has officially relocated its headquarters. Effective the 18th of March, the offices moved from the Government Administration Building to the third floor of 6 at Cricket Square. The department confirms that the Tourism Accommodation Tax Collection Desk will continue operating from its current location on the first floor of the Government Administration Building, with all payment services remaining unchanged. Tourism stakeholders and the wider community are assured that the same high standard of client service will continue, and all email and telephone contact details remain the same following the transition. The Cayman Islands Department of Tourism says it looks forward to welcoming industry partners to its new office later this month. That's your latest local news from the Radio Cayman Newsroom. I'm Jevy Ebanks. Have a good evening.